Hello, it's Ed Gamble here from the Off-Menu podcast that you're currently listening to. I am on tour now. The show is called Hot Diggity Dog. Make sure you go and get yourself a ticket. I'm probably coming to a town near you if you live in the UK and Ireland. And Ireland, Dublin and Belfast. Do go to edgamble.co.uk, buy yourself a ticket, and I'll see you for an evening of Hot Diggity Dog.
Hot Diggity Dog!
Thank you, James.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Oh, let me just check the calendar. What? It's Saturday!
Bonus!
A bonus live episode of Off Menu from our tour. This was the first night of our London Palladium residency, 19th of November 2023.
Just another big old London venue residency for the Off Menu boys.
Honk, honk.
Palladium, man. Now, I think in the first half of this show, there's definitely loads of stuff that we said to them on the 19th of November, 2023, in the first half that, won't make sense when we do callbacks to them in this thing. I think it is, though, maybe important that, I don't know when we said it. It was probably in the first half. Maybe it is in the second half.
Yeah.
But we did reference the fact that Bruce Forsyth, his ashes are underneath the stage. And I think that probably is, that's true.
Yeah.
That's not something we made up for a laugh. But
it will come up.
I think it definitely will come up. And it's just good to know for the listener that also it's a fun fact.
Secret ingredient is key lime pie.
Fun? Shall I say fun?
Fun? Nah.
Lime pie is the secret ingredient.
The brilliant Jessica Knappett. I mean, this was such an exciting episode, James.
Jessica and I did a Taskmaster together, and I haven't been able to do anything else with Jessica since then because she was living in LA.
Yes.
So I was very excited to be reunited with the Knappett.
Yes. My mum came to this one. Another fact for you.
Ed's mum is in the audience. Ed's in-laws are in the audience.
Yes.
And in the first half, very rude.
It was a very rude first half, actually.
Yes.
My mum said afterwards, I don't think she knew Jess Knappett. She'd not seen her before. And she went, she was brilliant.
Oh, lovely.
I loved her. She was fantastic. So there you go.
What did she say about me?
Well, she knows. She thinks you're very weird.
Yeah.
So enjoy the episode with Jess Knappett.
Welcome to the Off Menu podcast, taking my own sourdough bread of conversation, brackets wanker, adding my grandmother's aubergine curry of humour, dickhead, and another ingredient that I got suspicious about. Professor Marsden's ribs of the internet. Stupid fucking husband. It's the Off Menu podcast.
That is Ed Gamble. My name is James A. Casso. Together we own a dream restaurant, and every single week we invite in a guest. We ask them their favourite ever start and main course, dessert, side dish, and drink, not in that order. And this week our guest is Jessica Knappett.
The wonderful Jessica Knappett. We're very excited to have Jess on the podcast. James, I've noticed that you've already puffed yourself out by the beginning.
Oh, I'm knackered, man.
Yeah. So just slow down, stop doing little tricks and moves that you've thought of. No, stop. You should have been in Busted, man. That was incredible. We already know the secret ingredient. We have planned the secret ingredient, as you all know. Stop it. It's fucking... You're ill. You are ill.
I'm excited for the podcast.
But in a minute, you know, in a minute, we're just going to have to sit down and you're going to have all that energy.
I'm getting all my steps in now.
Getting all your steps in?
Yeah.
How many steps do you think you've done?
Thousands.
Thousands of steps. Well, let's get on with the podcast. Please, welcome to the stage. And this is the off-menu menu of Jessica Knappett. No guest on the live tour has had this energy at the top yet. And I think all Taskmaster fans would have been very worried as you got closer to the front of that stage.
Yeah, that's why you put my chair back in.
Yeah, right back here, thank you.
In the safe place.
One of my favourite things I've ever been present at.
James, what are you doing?
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, you'll know
Where
what's happening, Jess.
I'll act surprised.
You can act surprised. I mean, would you like to rub the lamp?
Oh my God, yes.
Yes, well, please feel free to get up and rub the lamp.
Okay, now.
Well, I mean, it'd be awkward if we left him in there for a long time.
I thought we could just have a little private chat.
Well, we can just have a catch up. That's fine. He's got a good squat, so.
I've never rubbed a lamp before.
Mm.
I don't know where to rub it from in this area or the tip.
Have you seen the film Aladdin?
Yeah, but I...
Do you remember Aladdin wanking the lamp off?
That was a detail they left out in my children's version. I'm going to just go for a safe... Is that disappointing if I go down here? Oh, all right. Fucking dirty bastards.
Welcome, Jessica Knappett, to the Dream Restaurant. I've been expecting you for some time.
Here he is.
That's great. That's really, exactly how I imagine it to happen.
Yeah.
Pretty good, right?
Yeah.
Do you find it more or less disappointing that the lamp is massive? Like, if a genie burst out of a massive lamp, I think I'd be less impressed.
Yeah, I would have preferred... Well, I'd have preferred a real lamp and a real genie, to be honest.
Sure. Yeah. Because that's more just like... What James is doing is more like a sort of genie-themed stripper, isn't it, really?
What? Oh, what?
Like, you know, that's the old trope of, like, people bursting out of a big cake. That feels like maybe a sort of Aladdin-themed stripper you might hire for a party, for example.
Ed?
Yeah. Are we using the lamp after the tour?
Not a stripper.
I know you're not a stripper, James.
I'm not a stripper. I
know that is a thing, isn't it? Strippers coming out of cakes.
Yes.
But I've never witnessed...
Hold on, does the stripper come out of the cake? I thought the cake is like... Someone burst
you thought
out
the cake came out the stripper?
Have you to Blackpool?
Just also very aware that my wife is here tonight with my in-laws and my mum. And after the first half, she texted me saying, have you seriously saved all the ass-fucking stuff until our parents are here? And then I've just introduced conversations about a stripper, so I apologise. Sorry.
I feel like it's my fault because I lowered the tone with the tip talk.
Right, yes. But no, I think it is your fault.
Yeah. Anyway, so we've established that James isn't a stripper.
No, he's just a genie. He's a lovely genie.
He's just a lovely genie.
Only time I've ever stripped, ever in my life...
Oh, yes!
I've only done it once, and it was for Ed's in-laws and his mum.
It was my father-in-law's birthday.
Yeah, and they wanted it.
Yeah.
And they paid top dollar. And they kept chanting, strip for me, genie boy.
And that's why they're here tonight.
That's why they're here tonight. They're here for round two, I guess.
It's nice to have the end of the show planned out.
Yeah. Get them sitting in these chairs. Yeah. We all get up.
Yeah.
In-laws, your mum. And then I'll come out the lamp and...
What are me and Jess doing in this scenario?
Well, that's your problem, man. I mean, yeah.
Throwing money? Yeah. That's throw what you money. Do to strippers. It's horrible, isn't it? But that is what you do, just throw money at them.
I wouldn't know.
I wouldn't know. Jess. are you a foodie, Jess?
Well, I love going out for dinner. I love staying in for dinner. And I love food, but I feel like if you call yourself a foodie, it just sort of implies a bit of snobbery, mm-hmm. that you have a certain level of snobbery about food.
Yeah.
And I love food, but I love all the foods, including, I'm going to say it, McDonald's. Whereas that, yeah, yes, someone just said over there. And there, you know, and I love, like, you know, dirty food. And I love really posh, you know, Michelin food as well. Mm-hmm. Like I'm, you know, you can see me getting a tasting menu down yeah. my neck. I will do that.
That's what they say.
Sounds
isn't
like
it?
Quite.
When aggressive. They bring it, when they bring it as well, they go, get that down your neck.
I don't know why I have to say it so.
Get the funnel, nap it's here.
She'll want it down her neck.
I know there's 12 courses, but just blend them all up. Chuck it down her fucking neck.
Fucking neck.
Does that answer the question?
Yeah, I think so. I think you're saying saying you're a foodie suggests that you just like fancy food, whereas you like dirty food and you like fancy food and you like it all down your neck.
Yes.
If McDonald's did a tasting menu...
Ooh.
Oh, that's
this is
great.
The best question you've ever asked.
I knew it as soon as I said it. This is the peak of my career. I mean, we already know that you would say yes to it because you like tasting menus and you like McDonald's, but what would be, say it's a 12-courser.
Ooh.
Yeah, okay,
we're going to have to rattle
right.
through these.
Yeah, we are, actually.
But
I don't know if I could do 12 because I always just go for the same thing.
Well, they'll all be... Oh, they'll be little, what's your standard
it's
order?
It's a quarter-pounder meal. It's a quarter-pounder cheese meal.
Yeah.
What, the same person?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, that's the best. And I'm sorry. I'm sorry to come on a food podcast and immediately talk about McDonald's. That's
no,
horrendous.
It's fine. No.
But I recently took my daughter to one, and my husband's is a big foodie. And actually, I think that's part of the problem is that he's very, very food. Like he cooks and he makes meals that people talk about years later. And you know
for good reason.
Yeah, yeah, like we'll go camping and he'll have rocked up with a Cote de Boeuf. And yeah. you know he has to deal with me, and I love McDonald's, and he loves Cote de Boeuf, and we meet somewhere in the middle.
Yeah,
which is like steak, I suppose.
A Boeuf burger.
A Boeuf burger.
I guess. Cote de Boeuf burger.
But I took my daughter, and actually the truth is. As an experience, I'm sorry to say, it is amazing. Like then to relive it through a child's eyes, they've just got it right, and it's delicious.
Could you see her
and
eyes?
It's the
change?
Best restaurant
in the world.
Look, we have a look. We do talk about McDonald's now and again on this podcast. It's broadly positive chat, I think.
Yeah.
But no one's ever said it's the best restaurant.
I think Lolly Adefope may have said it was the best restaurant.
I went out for quite a fancy dinner with one of my friends, and we went to it was a restaurant. Shall I just say it? It was a restaurant called Clipstone,
mm-hmm.
and the food was absolutely delicious. Everything that came out was absolutely amazing. Just tasting it, and she said, "You know why this is delicious?" And I said, "Why?" And she said, "Because it tastes like a Big Mac." And that's the thing, that from time to time, maybe actually all good food just reminds you of McDonald's.
It's an interesting point, Jess.
Actually, might be right.
Struggling to not get angry.
I think I'm starting to answer the question, am I a foodie?
Do you have a favourite branch of McDonald's?
Yeah, Geisley.
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 Yeah, because it's next to Hobbycraft, where I go and... I go and take my daughter ostensibly to buy her craft supplies, but I actually just buy myself loads of felt tips that I don't use.
Your daughter's going to have some lovely memories of her childhood. My mum used to take me to Hobbycraft at McDonald's.
Yeah.
What did she eat when you took her to McDonald's?
A Happy Meal, of course.
Yeah?
Yeah. Inside the Happy Meal, there's a tiny cheeseburger.
Yeah.
Chips.
Mm-hmm.
carrot sticks.
Fuck that.
They do that now. Water.
What do kids need to be hydrated for? What?
Look, we're not interested in that bit. It's about the cheeseburger. Yeah, yeah. I saw her face when she got the gherkin. She was so confused.
Did she like the gherkin?
No, but I saw her eat it and go, what was that? And I know, give it a few years, she'll love that. But I know that's quite kind of a contentious subject, isn't it, gherkins? Yeah. Pro-gherkins? Anti-gherkins?
Grow up.
Yeah. Pro-gherkin?
I love gherkins.
Pro-gherkin?
I fucking love gherkins.
Yeah, and okay. I respect McDonald's for sticking with the gherkins.
Yeah,
they're so, you know, they're the fast food restaurant. They could just go, why are we bothering putting these gherkins in?
You know. They could be mainstream.
Yeah. They're the REM.
They stay punk, you know?
They stay alternative.
Like Nirvana.
Yeah.
You talk to Ronald McDonald, he's like Kurt Cobain. Right?
Yeah.
He's like... Can't believe all these fucking mainstream jocks coming and eating our burgers. I just wanted to make good stuff.
I love the gherkin, man. It's so good. People take the gherkin out, they're like, ooh, that's disgusting. Like, just fucking get away from me.
But it's more disgusting to take the gherkin out, personally.
Yeah, yeah. Wiggle
to be
it all
like
around.
That. Yeah. This is disgusting. Yeah, that is.
Yeah.
What you're doing, putting a bunch of gherkins on a paper napkin on the side where we're all eating.
But then you get their gherkin, don't you?
I'll
take their gherkin.
Well, still you
take
their gherkin. It's your daughter's gherkin, that's fair enough.
Well, yeah.
You take their gherkin off their napkin?
Yes, yeah, so they go, they want the gherkin, I'll go give it to me. You prick, I'll have two gherkins.
Are these people you know or just anyone in McDonald's?
Anyone around the restaurant. And anyone who's doing that, yeah. I'll come along with my burger.
I think it's a shame that Heat magazine don't do Spotted anymore because...
Are they putting the gherkin directly on your burger? Directly on the table or directly into your mouth?
It should go directly into the mouth, really, shouldn't it, if we're really playing?
Yeah. But, as I said to Ed's in-laws, you have to pay extra for that.
Oh, man, they are going to be hating this.
Yes, your wife will hate it a lot. Yeah. We always start with still a spark in water, Jess Nappets.
I know, yeah.
Yeah.
I know you do. Because I listen to the podcast because I love it. I love sparkling water. But we live in a country where we can drink tap water.
Yes.
Ooh, someone just did that.
Because we live in a country where we can drink tap water.
Ooh. They're from another country. They've travelled here specifically for this.
Oh, fair enough, you got us.
Having lived in a country for a bit where you couldn't drink the tap water, it made me... And that is America, by the way.
Really?
Absolutely ridiculous. Don't you think that's ridiculous?
You were in LA, right?
You can't drink the tap water in America.
Yeah. Yeah, that's out of order.
That's the richest country in the world.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't drink the tap water. So now I sort of make a point of drinking tap water. I also disapprove of, although I am drinking it now, any still water in a bottle, because I just think you've filled a bottle with tap water is what you've done there. Mm.
And just then so you know, sold that's a can. I know.
That's a can, that, Jess.
I know you're hammered.
What do you mean you can't drink the tap water in America? Because now I'm going back through all the times I've been to America and glugged all the fucking tap water.
Yeah. Because you lived in LA. We've been there.
Yeah.
I drank tap water.
Yeah,
there.
We definitely drank tap water.
No, but you... I don't think so.
Pretty sure...
Is anyone here from LA who isn't my husband? You can?
You can. How long were you there for, Jess?
Years.
Who told you can't drink the tap? Because
is someone else saying can't?
No.
I was just checking.
Oh, my God. Was it just my house?
No, I don't even think it was your house. I think you could have... Now, we know about Flint, Michigan. That's a, you know, dark
yeah, that's
example
a
where
thing.
You obviously can't drink the tap water. It's a different colour. But I think in LA... You can drink the tap water, and who told you you can't drink the tap
water? Okay, maybe
it's
just disgusting, and that's what, and that's why I stopped drinking it.
Mm.
Anyway, the point is...
I don't know if we can just move past this, Jess.
No.
The point that I would like to make is I love sparkling water, and sparkling water, there's a sense of occasion about it, isn't it? It's fancy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I will order it, but if I'm about to have a big meal, I won't, because I don't want to fill myself up. I know you think it is some sort of aperitif.
Yeah, yeah. That's you that's getting pointed at.
Oh, well, I don't think I've ever said that sparkling water is an aperitif.
I've heard you on this podcast say it's good digestively.
Well, I don't think I said it that fancily. I think if you drink sparkling water, it makes you do a big burp and then you feel emptier.
Oh. Well, now that sounds like a good thing.
Yeah.
But no, I'd normally go for tap water, but I'll order tap water at my peril.
Yeah. Well, why are you looking at me for the peril? I think.
Because I've been giving Ed my time.
You don't have to. You don't have to have LA tap water, which you don't trust for some reason. You can, if you like, have tap water from. What's the best tap water you've ever had? I mean, you grew up in Yorkshire. That's got good tap water.
Yorkshire's got really good tap water, so I am going to have Yorkshire tap water
because
it's the best. They bottle it. They sell it. You hate it.
Don't hate it. I just think the water's too soft, and when I shower in Yorkshire, it makes my hair go fluffy.
Are you joking? Does that happen?
Yes.
You get fluffy hair from living in Yorkshire?
Yeah, not from living in Yorkshire. I'm not suggesting that when I cross the county border that my hair goes fluffy.
You get fluffy hair from showering in Yorkshire, that's what you're saying.
Yeah, you definitely do. I do.
Yeah, I get more volume to my hair the further north I go.
Have you...
You can literally... That's why we got caught unhunted.
There he is.
They checked the CCTV.
I thought it was a hedge. this is an absolute revelation. Have you ever been to Norfolk? Because the water there is, in some parts of Norfolk, so soft as to feel greasy to the touch.
See, but I know now how fucking gullible you are, Jess. Because you've already been stopped from drinking tap water in the place you live for years, just from one person going, you can't drink that, and you've gone, I will take that as gospel. So now I'm worried you went to Norfolk and someone gave you a bowl of olive oil and said, that's tap water.
No,
that's
no,
water,
I had a very, very greasy shower in Norfolk.
But was it the water or the shower? Were you in a dirty shower?
Well, James, who knows now?
What was the circumstances? What were you doing in Norfolk?
We were just staying at Steve's.
Yeah.
Steve. We were staying at Steve's.
Greasy Steve's.
And Steve's shower was incredibly greasy.
Yeah.
And I couldn't make the soap sud. Does anyone know? Anyone with me?
But did you bring this up to Steve? Did you say, Steve?
Steve, your water's greasy, mate.
Yeah, did you say, is that a Norfolk thing? Or did you just assume that must be Norfolk water?
Actually, we did talk about it a little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
And I thought, because I genuinely thought that I wasn't able to wash off the soap from my body. That's what it felt like.
Okay, so you had lathered up. I don't want to sound like a perv.
Yes, and it was a shower, James.
So you got soap on you, and then the water went on you, and the soap just stayed still.
Yeah.
And didn't move.
Well, that's what it felt like, but that wasn't what had happened. What had actually happened was it was just the sensation of a highly alkaline water.
So the soap washed away and was replaced with grease, and you didn't fit a bit, it felt the same.
It's just a feeling. I mean, you know what soap feels like. It's a pH thing. So, you know, you do that in chemistry, don't you?
I didn't learn about greasy showers in chemistry.
I not personally, but like,
you know what it alkaline feels like.
I know what alkaline feels like.
We're only on water.
Give us a cheer if you know what alkaline feels like. There's a few people, mainly ladies, actually.
Yeah.
Give me a cheer if you've had a shower in Norfolk. Do you? And give me a cheer, those people, do you know what Jess is talking about? There you go.
Again, it seems to be your personal experience once that you thought was just across the board.
But I do think... that's absolutely mad. I do feel like I'm going a bit mad now, but that's connected to the soft hair thing. Because it came from something you said. About the soft hair, about your hair feeling
soft. Yeah, I should have known when I said that they have soft water in Yorkshire, it makes my hair go fluffy, that you'd immediately go, I had a shower in Norfolk, it was greasy.
They're all greasy there.
OK, I'm just going to drink some water for this.
Problems or bread? Problems or bread, Jessica Nabbit? Problems or bread?
Hang on.
That made me jump, to be fair, that time.
I was pleased with that one.
Yeah.
It's so easy, actually.
Oh, yeah? this question? Yeah, yeah.
It's obviously Pops.
Ooh.
No offence to bread. No offence to bread.
If bread were here, it would say none taken.
Shout out to Rosemary Focaccia with sea salt. Shout out to sliced white. Covered in butter, served on the side of every meal in Yorkshire as a condiment.
That's nice.
Bread is a condiment in the north.
I know that.
It's true.
Are you sure?
I'll tell you what else is a condiment. Actually, if you go into a sandwich shop, you know, like a proper sandwich shop.
Yeah.
Do you?
Well, I've not been to a fake one, but I also hadn't heard of fake maple syrup until tonight. So,
I'm not talking about Pret. I'm not talking about even Greggs. I'm talking about the one, dare I say it, below that, where it's like a BAP and a ham. You'll get your ham salads, your egg mayo, your chicken coronation. You go in and they're all laid out.
And the butter
behind the
comes
counter.
From a massive tub.
You've got butter, and the question will be butter or marge. You know, do you want all the salad, they'll say.
Yeah.
And what they mean by that, does anyone know what I'm talking about? Yeah. And they'll say mayo or salad cream. And in Yorkshire, and maybe other parts of the north, if you say, yes, I want all the salad, they will put a boiled egg in it.
Oh, lovely.
A whole boiled egg.
A whole, because a boiled egg is a condiment also.
Will it be sliced or they'll just put a whole
egg? It'll be sliced, yeah, in an egg slicer.
You know, in Norfolk, when you go into one of those shops, they say butter, marge or tap water.
Also,
okay.
Just quickly, this is something that I might have wrong here, but you said, just rolling back, and probably no one else noticed it, you said chicken coronation. Now, it might just be a Kettering thing. Yeah. Coronation chicken. I would think chicken coronation is a literal if a chicken became the monarch. Yeah.
It's a spoiler for the next Aardman film.
Yeah. Rounding off the trilogy.
No, I'm going to stick with it.
chicken coronation.
The chicken coronation. Congratulations. To the chicken, I guess. But you're choosing poppadoms.
But yeah, despite all that, and also shout out to just like really cheap garlic bread from the supermarket that you put in the oven.
Yeah, baguettes.
Because
absolutely.
Actually, that okay. No, I do want to stick with poppadoms.
But you nearly went for garlic bread.
I just started thinking about it, and it is just wonderful, isn't it? Yeah. Really, but. Poppadoms, but specifically poppadoms at the Sharma Bingley, which is on the top of Safeway in 1998. The stack of poppadoms will... the top one will be slightly oily because it's come out first.
Sorry, we both thought the same joke and looked at each other. And nodded. We were going to say it was from Norfolk, weren't we?
Yeah.
We have the same brain now.
Do you know what's upsetting is that I looked at you both nodding to each other, and I genuinely thought they were looking at each other going, it's good to have her on, isn't it?
We are also obviously thinking that, Jess.
Of course we're thinking that all the time, Jess. We don't have to look
Great
at each
to
other to communicate that.
But no, it was which one of us is going to mock her first? I'll let you take it, James.
That top poppadoms from Norfolk.
Yeah, so the top one is covered in Norfolk water.
Yeah.
And they're quite spicy with, I think, some kind of like fennel seed or something. And obviously, they're served with all the pickles and the chutneys. Mm. Mixed pickle, lime pickle, mango chutney. Why has everyone gone quiet? Right.
Because they want to make sure they're on tenterhooks.
This is what they're here for. This is the audience wrapped.
Yeah.
And that's the gist of it, really, because it's just so delicious. And do you know what I love? In the mixed pickle, when you get those big peas.
Yeah.
Do you know what? Do you know the ones I mean?
Do I know what you mean by big peas?
The peas in the pickle. Yeah.
They're not peas, though, are they?
Well, go on.
They're not. They're not like frozen peas. They're not petit pois.
No, they're not petit pois. No, thanks for clearing that up. A lot of people think it is petit pois in the dips.
No.
What are they then?
I don't know. But they're the same peas that you sometimes get in Thai curries.
Mm. I thought they were petit pois.
I guess we're
they're have definitely
to...
not petit pois. They're harder.
I want to hear more about the Sharma Bingley on top of the Safeway in the 1990s.
I know that. You know, when people are like, oh, if you could go back in time, where would you go? Oh, I'd go to the Roaring Twenties, or I'd go on the Titanic. Actually, no one says they want to go on the Titanic.
No.
Nobody.
Oh, I'd go on the Titanic.
Oh, the bubonic plague, please. let me be a pauper.
Right at the end.
Yeah.
Imagine someone who doesn't know what happened on the Titanic gets a time machine. I didn't watch to the end of the film, but it looked lovely on there. I'm going to go back in time to the Titanic.
The good bit. I want to go back in time to the Sharma Bingley 1998 because it was my favourite. It's food is all nostalgia for me.
Yeah.
But on a Friday night, not every Friday night, but, you know, mum, dad, brother would say, is curry night. That
in
was
unison.
The happiest.
Yeah.
Sorry?
Was it going to be in unison or would just one of you say it's curry night? When you said me, mum, dad, brother, we'd say it's curry night.
Yeah.
Is that all four of you saying it together at the same time or is that mum and dad saying it to you guys or like...
Did you all know instinctively that it was curry night? Did you put your hands in the middle like Power Rangers?
Yeah. Should we try it?
Yeah. Fuck yeah. Imagine if we went back in time now.
Three, ready? Think two, about the Sharma Bingley.
Three, two, one.
It's curry night!
That felt good.
Oh
yeah.
Oh, God, wow.
Feels good. It's a shame we can't have any curry now we've said that.
It was just it's just a happy memory.
Older brother, younger brother?
Older.
Older. So you're the youngest in this scenario.
Yeah.
The family going to Sharma Bingley. So
just
you're the little
memories.
Tyke. You're looking up at everyone else. You're excited that you're in the Sharma Bingley.
Yeah, wearing my green and purple because there was a time when quite a good couple of years where I would only wear the colours green and purple.
Like Donatello?
Yeah.
Now,
yeah, so that's the image.
Also, I guess if we're going to establish that you're Donatello, this is a group of four that are going to the Sharma Bingley. We have to ask who the rest of your family would be.
I don't know the names.
Well,
okay. Well,
see, Michelangelo.
We'll talk you through it.
Was
there anyone in your family who you would consider to be a party dude?
Yeah, who's the party dude out of the three? There's got to be a leader.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Party dude.
My mum's the party dude.
Your mum's Michelangelo.
Your mum's Michelangelo, that's
maybe
pretty
a
cool.
Bit more
I thought your brother had that in the bag.
Yeah.
I mean, if your dad's not the leader out of him and your brother, then that's...
But who's the leader, though? Because it's sort of two left of both sort of leaders, right?
I thought Leonardo was the... No, it's Raphael.
Well, somebody's just said Raphael, so...
Raphael's the leader.
Yeah.
What's Leonardo, then, in the dynamic of the turtles?
Raphael's cool but rude. So who's cool?
That's my brother.
That's your brother. So your mum.
Actually, he's not that cool. That was too much of a compliment.
So your dad's Leonardo.
And then what's the? My dad's Leonardo.
Yeah,
and then who's
default.
Left?
No, you're Donatello because you only wore purple and green.
Yeah. You're the nerd who makes all the machines.
What's... I'm not... I mean, I know it's the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles,
yes.
right?
Yes.
But I don't know what the personality of Donatello is.
He's the nerd. He, like, makes all the machines and stuff. He's the brain box, really.
Yeah. Oh, right, you just said that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but...
I'm beginning to think you're not Donatello.
Also, I don't think you're the other three.
I'm okay with that, I think.
You might be, yeah, a different character.
Anyway, guys, it's closed down now and it's moved to another location, and as has the Safeway. And there are no restaurants on top of that shopping centre anymore. And I just feel kind of sad about it. So I thought I'd share that.
Did they move together? Is it still on top of the Safeway, but in a different location? The Sharma?
No, the whole... That would be good, though, wouldn't it? I don't think there are even any Safeways anymore.
It would be fun if they moved to the same, same location as each other again, but swapped who's on top. So Sharma got to be the main one and you got to go up to the Safeway.
It is as grotty as it sounds, like having to go up basically sort of like a fire escape.
So you don't go through the Safeway to get to the restaurant?
No, you go up, you park in the Safeway car park.
Yeah.
And then you go up these kind of, and it was like a 1950s shopping centre type feel. And then, you go up these like piss-stained, soaked steps, and there'd be like broken bottles in it, but sometimes there'd be some hooligans on the steps. And you'd get up to the top and it's just like a flat roof with a puddle. And then... the Sharma would appear before you. And it was just such a... It was paradise. It was a sanctuary. It was honestly heaven to me.
A sanctuary from the situation you'd put yourself in. Finally, we're away from those horrible steps.
The hooligans.
All the
hooligans.
Piss and the hooligans.
I think that would be it for me. I don't think... respect for you and your family for making it to the restaurant. I think as soon as I was on the steps, I'd be like, fucking no way I'm going up there.
Honestly, it was worth it.
Yeah.
And also, it was one of those really old-school Indian restaurants with, like, proper decor. The Papa Doms came in, like, a silver tray with a doily. Do you know what...
I know what a doily is. I'm not sure if I would consider that old-school Indian restaurant, though.
Really?
But, like, fair enough if it is.
You know, carpeted chairs as well.
Yeah.
Hang on, what? I was with you. I was with you all the way through the doily bit. What do you mean carpeted chairs?
I mean, I can't really elaborate on that.
I think we think you're saying that they'd carpeted the chairs. But they doesn't sound right.
They were upholstered.
Okay.
Okay. With carpet.
It kind of looked like it, yeah. So that's where I'm having my Papa Doms in the Sharma Bingley.
Absolutely.
On an upholstered carpeted chair.
Do you want to be walking? Do you want to walk up the steps? Do you want that whole experience for the dream meal?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you've got to, right?
Yeah.
Because you want the reveal of the restaurant.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
And you've said it's curry night with your family and your
Yeah. And then we're talking about Papa Doms, but just because you might like it as a detail, I would go absolutely hyper if I had those, you know, those little sweets. They're like fennel seeds covered in sugar, like pink sugar, pink and white and yellow.
Yes, I do know the ones you mean, yeah.
E-numbers.
Yeah.
And I would go mad and sort of like turn into a chicken and pretend to lay an egg and stuff. and they knew that I would go crazy.
Would the restaurant staff know as well?
It would happen when I got home. But they would give them to me in a little bag. They were in a dish on the counter as you left.
Yeah.
And you could just dig in.
Are we sure
like,
they were sweet?
Well,
you're getting home pretending to be a chicken.
Not. But something happened to me. I liked it.
You're going around the house. It's my coronation. I'm the queen. I'm the queen chicken. I'm a queen chicken. Oh, thank you for taking me to the Sharma, Daddy. Your dream starter, Jessica Nabbitz.
Okay. Can I have an amuse-bouche?
Mais oui. If you know, you know. Huge respect to Jess for that.
Yeah. Huge respect.
She's hacking the menu.
I am hacking a bit, but it's because I need to put crisps on the menu. Look, It's not what it is. Not what
over
it,
the
it's
top
not,
of their head. Then.
It's not how it sounds. It's not how it's not what.
I'm ready now for it to not be how it sounds.
Okay.
Do you know how it sounds?
Sounds like crisps.
Yeah. Sounds like you want crisps on the menu.
Crisps on the menu, but it's not going to be just crisps.
Okay.
No.
Although, if I go over to someone's house for a drink and they've put some crisps out, thank you. Because that's just. I just think, thanks, actually.
Yeah.
It's just lovely, isn't it?
It is lovely.
When someone's just made an effort to pop open a bag of crisps.
Yeah.
You feel at home, don't you? You think, you know, someone said to me, I'm going to put some snacks out because it makes it cosy.
Mm.
And I always remember that. Snacks make it cosy.
Who said that?
What genius said
Kate.
That? What?
Kate said that.
Kate, okay. Yeah. Well, good old Kate.
Yeah.
For realising that.
So the best starter I ever had, but I don't think it was a starter, it was an amuse-bouche. And also, that's what's so good about it. It's a surprise.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't order it. It came anyway, like Kate's crisps. This amuse-bouche is creme fraiche. No, sour cream. With caviar on top.
Mm.
Yes. And then just crisps around it.
Yeah.
And then you just... And they're ready salted crisps that mm-hmm. I think would be described as hand-cooked.
This is great. I only had this for the first time recently.
You did? You have had it?
Yeah, I've had it.
Where have you had that?
At a wedding, like the drinks before the meal started, in that awkward bit of a wedding where it's like 2 to 3 hours where people are just drinking before anyone gets
any
food.
While the photos are being
done. All the photos and all that bullshit, right? There was sour cream with caviar and Pringles. They were ready salted Pringles.
Nice.
And sour cream and chive Pringles. Dipping in there, putting a bit of caviar on top. It was mad, but I was into it.
It's so nice.
Yeah.
And did Kate serve you this? Is this, or no, Kate, am I mixing my stories up now?
No. I got this in a restaurant, disappointingly named The Restaurant. But it's really nice. The food's great. Shame about the name. Anyway, shout out, thank you. Best starter ever. Bad name, sauce. Anyway, so that's my amuse-bouche, if I may.
It's a great, absolutely. You may. That is a great amuse-bouche.
My starter. And I've been around the houses with this one. I really have. I've given it some thought. Yeah. I've gone from scallops to soft-shell crab. I was going at one point with a pre-meat pasta because Italians do it right, don't they? They have pasta as a starter.
Or a separate course.
Or just a whole separate course. Yeah.
Which, by the way, Jess, some people on the podcast, some guests, have hacked the system like you just did with a muse boost
by
adding in a pasta course as well.
Well, I'm not going to because it's going to ruin something else if I do that. But what I have decided is actually, when all is said and done, the best starters, I think...
do you think... this is like just a minute or something?
I'm just obviously trying to think of an entertaining way to introduce it, but what I've actually done is just slow it down.
No, but you haven't actually at all, because I genuinely am on tenterhooks and quite excited about what this starter is.
I just think the best starters are from Chinese takeaways. And so what I've gone with, although I don't actually want it from a Chinese takeaway...
Ooh, what?
I know. It's just that's where I got my inspiration, is sesame prawn toast.
Okay.
So good!
Now, yes, definitely.
Yeah.
But I think that would have been a bigger applause. Only some people are like, sorry, not from a Chinese takeaway.
The best starters are from Chinese takeaways. I want something specifically that, as far as I'm aware, you can pretty much only get from a Chinese takeaway.
No.
But you don't want it from a Chinese takeaway.
I can't remember where I had it from, but I want it from... I'm sorry... but I want it from a high-end Chinese restaurant.
Okay.
I want, like, a really, really well-made prawn cocktail? Prawn toast that is like what you get in a takeaway, but not as greasy.
It's good to have her on.
Is it good to have me on?
I know what you mean. I've had, like, posh prawn toast before.
Posh prawn toast?
I love takeaway prawn toast. I think it's amazing, and it's always a treat. But sometimes you get it from a nicer place, like a sit-down restaurant. Thick prawn.
Yes. Mm. Yes.
Thick prawn.
Exactly. And a bit more sort of garlicky, chilly. I think maybe the sesame seeds will be black sesame seeds,
Very nice.
Just white sesame. And it just will look nicer. It'll be kind of like puffed out.
A mound of prawn.
Not like... And I also think this is delicious. But, you know, sometimes prawn toast can be like fried bread that you get in Little Chef.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No offence to fried bread from Little Chef.
You're very worried about offending bread this evening.
Weird, isn't it? But, yes, that's my starter. And the dip is something sweet and spicy. You know, like what it comes with. Sort of a sweet chilli sauce kind of deal.
What I'm really enjoying about this menu so far, Jess...
There's
things that are so specific. Poppadoms from a specific restaurant above a Safeway in 1998. And then prawn toast from a nice place with black sesame seeds. And then dip like what it comes with.
Whatever.
Sweet and spicy.
I think I've just realised something.
Mm-hmm.
I think I might be talking about Thai prawn toast.
Oh, okay.
Am I? Because sweet chilli sauce, that's Thai, isn't it?
Yeah. That feels...
Yeah, but it jumps around.
It does get about a bit, doesn't it? People... I really love Asian flavours and extreme flavours and chilli and salt and spicy, crunchy, all of that stuff.
Yeah.
We're getting less and less specific every time you say something. Yeah. We've zoomed out to an entire continent now. Yeah. Now we're just talking about crunchy.
More and more, you're sounding more and more, if I may say, like an MP who's messed up and is defending themselves.
That was actually an attempt to be more specific.
Yes.
But I won't do that again.
No, it's good. My current favourite prawn toast is a vegan one that I try. Like, I should be a vegan. We all should, but I'm not. But there's a vegan place called Facing Heaven. It's a very good Chinese restaurant. Like, proper can't believe it's vegan. And their prawn toast is really, like, almost gelatinous. The whole thing is just, like, really juicy.
Because it is just kind of gooey. I made a prawn toast the other day from... It was actually a prawn taco. And you get the prawns and you put them in the blender with, like, spring onions and chilli... and maybe some lime juice, and you whiz it up, and then you just sort of spread it over the taco, and then you cook it, and then you flip it, and then you flip it back, and you put some sesame seeds on it, and it basically that is a delicious prawn toast.
Sounds
delicious.
Sounds great.
So more of that to come, I suppose.
Well, I think we'd all like to see this cooking show happen, Jess. Where you sort of finish a recipe and go, so more of that to come, I suppose.
Everyone was sitting there just thinking, this sounds delicious, this sounds so tasty. Wow, I never thought about that before. I'm glad Jess has gone into so much detail. And at the end you went, yeah, it was fucking... You just put it in the bin at the end.
Yeah.
That sounds great, that taco.
Yeah. So, but I'm not going to put that in. I do want it from a restaurant.
You want a super fancy, juicy prawn toast with black sesame seeds and a sweet chili dip.
Yeah.
You said yes, like I'd just come up with that for you. Yeah, actually, good idea, Ed. I will have that.
I used to work in a school as a classroom assistant and, what?
No, go on.
And one Christmas, the kids in the class that I was a classroom assistant for wanted to go for a Chinese meal, for their Christmas meal. So we took them to a Chinese restaurant, and I ordered the prawn toast, and one of the kids was like, oh, do you like prawn toast, do you? And I went, yeah. And he went, oh. And then every day, every time he saw me, he'd just go, prawn toast? Every time he saw me.
Respect, that's what that was.
Prawn toast? Like it was my name. I loved it. I was like, yeah.
It's a good nickname, prawn toast.
And then every now and again he'd check with me. He'd go, still like prawn toast? I go, yep. And he'd go, great. And then later on he'd go, still like prawn toast? Well, yep. Good kid.
Aww. Do you know what I like as well? Can I have something just to garnish my prawn toast?
Of course you can.
crispy seaweed.
Yeah.
Hang on, not anymore. I'm taking it back.
No way.
No
That's
way.
That's so good, isn't it? Seaweed. Deep fried crispy seaweed. There's some powder that they put on it.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is. It.
It's fishy.
Is it scallop?
It's MSG. Not MSG.
It's not MSG. I think it's like
crab.
Scallop.
I think it's like crabby. It's like powdered crab or
Crimpy.
Something.
Does anyone know what that powder is?
It's not MSG.
The same person who said MSG again. Yeah, they're doubling down on it. They're pretty
that
adamant.
Is in it.
The first time they said it, it was like a friendly MSG. And that time it was MSG. They do not like the fact.
Have you seen that?
That you are calling them, that you are not. What?
Have you seen that?
What happened?
It oh, says yeah. it there.
And I said scallop. Powder dried scallop.
I thought, Jess, I thought you were referring to the audience member.
Yeah.
I thought you were like, I thought you were going to kick off and have a fight. You see that shit? I don't, because I can't see. There's a light there. I can't see this area.
No,
so when
I
you're like, you fucking
you
see
want...
that shit? I thought if the MSG she... person was looking at you going, you're a fucking one.
Fucking MSG, mate.
It's MSG, fuck you.
Seen that?
You were like,
seen that?
You fucking see that?
No, but if she says MSG one more fucking time.
Yeah.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Today's episode of Off Menu is sponsored by Aura. James, are you ready to win Mother's Day?
I am, Ed. I want to cement my reputation as the best gift giver in the family. I'm going to give my mom an Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
May I say, James, I absolutely love the class and elegance with which you use the word mom, because this is for US listeners.
All of your moms deserve a good Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
Yeah, I think your mum's going to love looking back on your childhood memories, seeing what you're up to today, seeing what you're up to back in the day, and even better, with unlimited storage and an easy-to-use app, you can keep updating mom's frame with new photos, so it's the gift that keeps on giving, James.
Ed, answer me this. Who is the best gift giver in your life?
I'd probably say my wife is a very good gift giver. Not that my mom is not a fantastic gift giver, but
yes.
My wife's very good at little surprise things. She says, I've only got you a few things, and then there'll be little surprises, things that we've seen throughout the rest of the year. I'll say to my wife, I like that, and then I forget about it, and then on the day, there's some lovely little gifts there for me that remind us of the year that we've just spent together.
Oh, if you like being reminded of stuff, may I suggest photographs?
That's a very good point, James. I think we should get ourselves an Aura digital picture frame and put some of our wedding photos on them.
Right now, Ed, Aura has a great deal for Mom's Day, Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code OFFMENU at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
Your dream main course, Jessica?
Yes. Well, actually, it's bad.
I'm imagining being an actual waiter and I'm serving you. What would you like for main course, madam?
Yes.
Yes.
No.
I actually really don't like making decisions in restaurants.
I
think that what should happen is, you know when you go to a really fancy restaurant and it's a tasting menu and they're like, I'm an amazing chef, so you're going to have this, this, and this because I'm amazing and that's what I make,
yeah.
Right? And it takes all the hell out of it for you because they're just giving you all the things that they're good at.
Yeah.
I just think other restaurants should do that more. where there's like less choice on the menu, and they just go, "Just, are you a chef? Yes, right. Cook me something nice."
But it's good that you're checking that they're a chef first.
Maybe there's like these two things that I don't like. Don't make that. But otherwise, just bring me some nice food, please.
What are the two things you don't like?
Yeah, it's slightly more demanding the second time round, isn't it?
You wouldn't go... Like, if I was cooking someone dinner, yeah, I wouldn't say, come over to my house, here's 25 things. Which one do you want?
Yeah.
Because then we'd spend the entire evening discussing the 25 things.
Yeah.
And then they'd decide. No, because that's a rude thing to do. And I honestly think it's quite rude. Especially when you're confronted with a massive menu. And then the worst thing is when they go, it's small plates, 2 to 3. We recommend 2 to 3. Blah, blah, blah. And then... So what I've actually taken to doing recently, and I did it this week, and my friends know me for this now.
Yeah.
Just order everything on the menu.
By the menu.
If it's small plates and they go, we recommend you share... Okay, well, we'll have everything then.
It's a big move.
But you count them, and usually it's the right number.
Yeah, usually.
Sometimes it's a bit excessive and they're going to chest the bills, £500.
I love that you've chosen to go to this restaurant. You've not done any research into it. They've explained what the concept is and you've gone, oh, just fucking bring me everything then.
I guarantee you it's better that way, because otherwise people get, oh, we'll get the 3 tortellini and we'll divide it by 6 and we'll... That, you can have that. I hate that.
I am sort of fed up with it. This is a specific London thing. Almost every restaurant you go to now, they go... have you been to the restaurant before? And you go, no. And they go, can we just explain our concept? I know what the concept is. Yeah. It's small plates. It's 2 to 3 per person. You're going to bring them. It's not really going to be enough, and it's going to be £500.
That's because you don't order everything on the menu. Yeah. Yeah.
The new man.
Try ordering everything. So, OK, I sound like a bit of a twat now, but I do like to do that, because it takes the stress out of it. Because I don't... Okay, I do go to the restaurant for the food, but I go for the chats with my mates as well.
Yes.
That's more important, really. I mean, it goes without saying that the food's going to be good, because it's been made by a chef.
For this podcast, it does not go without saying.
No.
We do need to say about
okay.
the food.
Okay, main course. It's Jude Nappet's pasta bake. Oh, right, yeah, you don't know Jude Nappet.
We can have a guess.
I'm assuming...
That's my mum.
Yeah.
And it is basically...
Could we refer to her by her proper name, please?
Jude.
Leonardo. Actually, she's Michelangelo, isn't she? Sorry.
She's Michelangelo, your mum.
Yeah. So what it's actually... Your mum's Michelangelo. What it actually is, in our house, we call it bastard cake.
Yeah.
And the reason it's called bastard cake is because my sister-in-law is...
So can I just... swerve from when I go to a restaurant, I just order everything on the menu, to, well, we call it bastard cake. My dream is bastard cake.
Definitely, I wouldn't have guessed where we were going from the build-up. What's your dream main course? Well, here's my problem with main courses. They come over, they ask you what you want. There's too much choice. I just like to do the whole menu. Kind of, what is it? Oh, it's Jude Nappet's bastard cake.
Yeah. Why is it called bastard cake?
Because my sister-in-law is Australian, and we said when she came over, we're making pasta bake. And oh, everyone's so clever. You totally made the leap.
I'm going to say this, and I don't know. Surely some other people got it first time round. As soon as you said bastard cake, I was like, because it sounds like pasta bake. And I am absolutely astounded.
I didn't get
how
that.
Many of you, including Ed, just got it.
I just thought it was a Yorkshire thing. I honestly thought, like, Jess's dad was carrying a cake one day and dropped it. He went, "It's bastard cake."
No, it was a lovely mishearing, and now that has been, that is its new moniker.
Bastard cake.
Bastard cake. So, and it is delicious. She makes the bolognese very slowly, and over the course of a day as far as I can tell. It's why is a day funny?
I think just because
I think it's as far as I can tell that they were laughing.
So I can tell. You're trying to figure out how bastard cake is made, but yeah. Jude Knappett's playing her cards close to the vest. Yeah. You can't quite figure out if it's a day or a number of days.
Yeah. You're doing a stakeout on Jude Knappett. Trying to work out.
Pun intended.
As far as you can tell.
Yeah.
As far as you can tell.
Well, I don't hang around and watch her. I just eat it at the end when she's made it for me.
Mm. You can't, there's no way of finding out how long it takes, I guess.
Yeah, I think I could ask. Right, so it's like it's very garlicky.
A clue.
Garlicky, obviously beefy.
Yeah.
There's bacon in the bolognese.
Lovely.
And rosemary, I think, as far as I can tell. And it's made with, ideally, quite thick macaroni, like fat macaroni.
Fat macaroni. Yeah.
Fat bastard cake.
Fat bastard, yeah. Fat
bastard. From Austin Powers.
What is it called? It's not penne, but it's the rigatoni, I think. Yeah. And that's the best version. And then the best part of it is bechamel sauce on top. Mm. Am I describing every pasta bake? Because it feels special to me.
I don't know, actually. I've never made one, so I don't know.
It sounds like a sheetless lasagna.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
And I want to say without the labour intensity, but it takes a day to make the bolognese.
Yeah. As far as you can tell. You don't know. You don't know.
And when you are going to have bastard cake, do you and all your family chant bastard cake together?
Yeah.
Do you look at
each other and go, bastard cake. We're bastard, obviously, not bastard.
Yes,
I said that because you said that.
Yeah. He turned you posh.
But the thing about bastard cake is it's always there for us.
Don't know why I wasn't expecting you to suddenly look at me then.
It's... like family gatherings, it'll be the first thing. There'll be a bastard... Like, if we're all going up to my mum and dad's house, there will be a bastard cake on arrival.
On arrival?
Yeah, it's there. It's
no wonder you don't know how long it takes to make it.
Yeah.
Do you ever think about arriving in the morning to try and catch your mum off guard?
Aha!
It will already be there.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's massive. So last year I had a Christmas party and my mum turned up with a bastard cake. We were like, we've actually already got catering in, mum, but thank you very much. But she was absolutely right, because midnight rolled around and everyone was starving and hammered and we shoved the bastard cake in, didn't we? Bastard cake was the first thing I had when I brought my baby home from hospital. My husband made me a bastard cake because I'd been bastard diabetic throughout bastard pregnancy.
Oh, I'm so sorry you had to live with that for 9 months.
You'll get a bastard cake, isn't it?
It's a real bastard, yeah.
Yeah.
Did you think it was odd bringing your child, your new child home and celebrating with bastard cake?
No.
A new bastard in the world! Something out of Game of Thrones.
Your husband made the bastard cake.
Yeah, he made it. He got the recipe off my mum, so I guess we could ask him.
Again, I'd say as far as you can tell, it's... So your husband made bastard cake. Did it taste as good as Jude Knappett's bastard cake?
Yeah, it was pretty good. It's pretty up there. He's a good cook.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll always knock together a bastard cake. Actually, if you want to know, we've sort of hacked the hell of family cooking, which is that we have pretty much the same meal on the same day every week.
Yes.
I'd say you've created a new hell.
Okay, so tell me honestly if this sounds like hell, and I don't mind if the answer is yes. Macaroni Monday.
Okay. Jess, you just said it like you hate it.
That was actually smug, Jess.
Oh, sorry. Is this fat macaroni Monday or just normal macaroni?
You can have... it's little macaroni.
Mac and cheese?
Yeah, mac and cheese.
So macaroni Monday. Are they all going to be alliterative?
We tried. Taco Tuesday.
Yeah, obviously.
Love Taco Tuesday. That's great.
Yeah.
What do you think Wednesday is?
Walnut whips.
No.
That's what you'd have in your house.
Yeah, Walnut Whip Wednesday. I'd say it's alliterative. What can we do?
Wensleydale Wednesday?
No.
Almost sounds like
Does
Wednesday.
Anyone want to have a guess?
Yeah.
Wings.
Wings or Wellington.
Wings can't have is a great shout.
Have you not thought about wings?
No.
Someone suggested
someone
Wellington.
Said Wellington.
A Wellington every week would be
that's
real.
That's very labour-intensive, yeah, a Wellington.
A Wellington a week.
Wine. It's actually wedges.
I don't know why Smug Jess is back.
Yeah. Smug Jess appears guys. To live in an American bar.
It's actually wedges.
Have mac and cheese, tacos, wedges.
Well, I have an American husband.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we sort of do live in an American bar, really.
Playing pool and stuff. Tequila Thursdays was a... No, I guess...
Shall I keep going?
Yes.
Oh, you must keep going.
You must keep going.
So we've got Wedge Wednesday. No. So you have wedges every Wednesday.
Yeah. It's sort of like we'll have like a meat thing. Well, basically, we basically just have like meat and two veg. Mm. But meat and veg and wedge.
Meat and veg and wedge.
Yeah.
So it doesn't... Wedges don't constitute the whole meal.
No.
But wedges will make an appearance.
Yeah, we know that the wedge is going to make an appearance.
Have to be in there because it's Wednesday.
Yeah.
Even though the main bit of the meal changes
<It's not>
every week. It has to be served with wedges because it's Wednesday.
But, James, you don't understand until you have to cook for, like... People that don't really eat, you know, a 6-year-old and a 1-year-old, it's destroyed cooking for me.
Right,
I mean, no offence to them. I'm all bread.
Yeah.
But you can't just, it's so hard to think, like, you know, you've been working all day and you just, the hardest part is thinking, what shall I make for tea?
Yeah. But that's, I guess, my point would be maybe make... The main bit of the meal, the bit that repeats every week, and not the side.
Because you are...
it won't be alliterative, James.
Yeah. I know that.
Because you are still having to decide what you cook every Wednesday, aren't you?
Yeah, Wednesdays actually. When Wednesdays come around, it's not great.
Wing? Could you bring in wings?
We
maybe
could
wings,
bring in
wings and wedges. Wings and wedges every Wednesday.
Yeah. That's actually a really good idea. Thank you.
How's the 1-year-old going to deal with wings?
Yeah.
Right. I feel like, in Jess's defence, you really set her up there.
Yeah.
You talked her into wings and then you went, ha-ha, gotcha, motherfucker. There's a 1-year-old in play. You forgot that?
Well, I was just thinking, I don't know about 1-year-olds, but I can't imagine a 1-year-old eating a wing.
I can't imagine that. No. Rotating it.
No, we're gonna be peeling the meat off the wing. Actually, she didn't eat chicken.
No. Tricky. What's Thursday?
Thursday, I'm interested to see if you've gone for a T sound or an F sound here.
F?
Well, because Thursday sounds... said out loud...
I hate to tell you this.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like that at all.
Thursday?
Yeah, you say Thursday wrong.
Thursday?
Yeah.
Thursday. Thursday night.
Thursday.
Okay,
a TH noise then.
Yeah.
That's... Sorry.
Yeah, okay. Well, I don't feel like that is being pernickety. That is just, it just does start with a TH.
Well, technically, there's an R at the end of bastard. Oh, no, shit, but it's at the end.
Oh.
Well, I can't get you on that. You're saying it right, bastard. He's wrong.
It's Thin Crust Thursday, okay? It's
Thin Crust Thursday.
Sorry, James. Thin Crust Thursday.
Thin Crust Thursday.
Yeah, I know you would. So we're sticking with the bar food, aren't we?
Not on Fish Friday.
Fish Friday. That's very traditional. That's great.
Yeah, that is traditional.
Is it fish and chips?
Which sometimes it will be, yeah.
Yeah. Ever go fish and wedges on Wednesday and then fish and wedges on Friday?
Well, yeah, sometimes that has hit us.
Yeah. Saturday and Sunday got their dishes, by the way?
No, we go loosey-goosey, just free it up, just have some fun. Don't plan, see what happens.
Yeah,
that doesn't sound fun to you at all.
Someone's going to Hobbycraft. I think you want some felt tips, don't you?
No, Mother. It's the last thing I want. I think that's what you want.
I felt it Friday yesterday.
God. What
so they take Saturday.
I really feel like that was such an embarrassing overshare. But is there anyone in this room who understands what it's like to be a parent having to decide what to cook?
Yeah.
Okay, like three people.
Yeah. I think more people than that. I think loads of parents.
It's ruined it.
We've ruined every meal in your house for the rest of the time.
It does ruin it. It does for a bit. Unless you all cook different things, that's the problem. Also, we don't have Deliveroo.
Hang on. So you don't have it as in you've
banned
it?
We don't have Deliveroo in our neighbourhood.
Oh, my God.
Bear in mind.
Okay, yeah.
Jess used to live in LA and thought you couldn't drink the water.
Yeah.
So
we're going to ask you where you live now and you're going to say central London.
I live in Yorkshire. I live in Ilkley.
Mm. There's no Deliveroo there at all.
No, there's a thing called Pronto. And then there are really good restaurants.
I don't know why that's made me laugh.
Well, it's funny because it's a stupid name.
There are genuinely amazing restaurants, even in our little town. There is a really nice restaurant, a Michelin restaurant. There's some really, really good Italian, like some of the best Italian I've had outside of Italy. I really mean that. It's amazing. But that is kind of it. There's no... You can't really get anything, so you can't be lazy.
Mm.
And that's... I guess that's my pain that I wanted to share. But I'm okay. I live with that. I just hope that people see the Jess who once did have Deliveroo and they don't see the Jess after Deliveroo and make a judgment about her. Because I'm still me.
Your dream side dish, Jess.
Well, it's... We're going back to China. because shout out
you've
to...
You've seen that film, right? Back to China. When Michael J. Fox.
I love... Back to China. I love Sichuan Chinese food.
Nice.
Very specifically. And I nearly had that as my main course because I also think that fried chicken might be the best food in the world.
Yeah.
Mm. So I was going to do like, you know, do you know the chicken that you get on a bed of chilies in Sichuan restaurants?
Sichuan style.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the weird peppercorns in your mouth goes all numb.
Yeah, I love that.
I love it so much.
I got to see James experience that for the first time.
Yeah, what, your tongue getting anaesthetized?
I didn't know. No one had warned me.
Isn't it weird? And you go so, it goes so
numb.
And
I was like,
oh, it's so
good. I didn't want to say anything. So I was eating it and thinking, oh no. I'm dying. And luckily we were with our friend John Robbins, who it was also the first time for him, but John will just confidently say, guys, I think that maybe all this food is covered in washing up liquid. I think was his guess.
Yes.
He thought they'd like washed up and left the washing up liquid on all the cutlery.
But in a nice way.
And now his mouth is like, I think I've just eaten something from the kitchen that we're not supposed to eat because I can't feel my tongue. And I was like, oh, I'm glad you said that, John. I can't feel it either. And then obviously...
You were just lapping this up, just loving it, not saying anything.
Yeah. Well, we were also with Lloyd Langford, but he is so Welsh, he always sounds like his tongue's numb anyway.
Whatever he eats, his tongue's like, what the fuck is going on?
And so after you had this experience and you didn't enjoy it
the first time.
Oh, right.
Once he realised he wasn't in peril, he loved it.
Right.
Once they gave me permission, I loved it.
Yeah. Let's start that again. Have you thought about having Szechuan Saturdays?
Ooh.
Where?
I guess your house.
I have tried to make mapo tofu,
mm.
and it was really hard. But I just can't quite get it right. And we've got Szechuan peppercorns and all the chili peppers and everything, which we ordered off sous chef.
What?
If you're familiar with sous chef, I love it so much. And the sous chef order comes in. Oh my god! Also. Are you familiar with chili crunch?
Yeah.
I'm not.
Oh, boy.
I'm
You're
not? No.
You've had chili crunch, like the oil with like bits of chili, spoon it out.
Yeah, I think it's sesame seed. It's sesame seeds and crunchy chilies.
Yeah.
In oil. Maybe a bit of garlic in there.
Yeah, I love
and
it.
And you just drizzle it on with a spoon.
Yeah,
it's not like it's not an oil in a bottle, it's an oil in a jar. It's not really an oil.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, there's oil in it, but there's like loads of stuff in there as well. Like, I mean, you can drizzle it on, or you can do what I do, which is stand up in the kitchen and eat it like a yogurt. It's good shit.
Yeah.
That's my flavour of choice at the moment. That's going on everything. Anyway, yes, it's green beans. It's green beans. It's Szechuan green beans, which have a kind of minced pork on top of them.
Nice.
And they are delicious.
A bit of a murmur there.
There was a murmur.
For minced pork on the beans.
Are they not? Is that wrong?
That sounds right.
No, that's right.
No,
like Mapo tofu is minced pork as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's delicious. And all of those Szechuan chilies as well.
It'll sort of go with the bastard cake-ish.
It's hard, isn't it, to pair something with a bastard cake?
Do you want to call them bitch beans to make them go better?
Sure.
Son of a bitch beans.
You happy with that, prawn toast?
It really works for him.
It really does.
Yeah.
It suits me.
It's gone weird, hasn't it?
No, it's because James is really enjoying leaving gaps for you to try and fill, and I can see what he's doing.
Is that what he's doing?
He's doing it deliberately, because by now he would have asked for dream drink from anyone else. But he's really enjoying leaving the silence to hang in the air just to see what you'll fill it with.
Yes. I feel like I am, like, I'm interviewing, like, I don't know, like, either a politician or a celebrity who's on the verge of getting cancelled. And that if I leave gaps, they will go somewhere crazy.
Yeah.
And then I'll have clickbait on my hands. So I'm, like, thinking, if I just, like, leave it at bitch beans, what would Jess say?
Okay.
But you've rumbled me.
Yeah.
Well, now I'm trying to think of a bitch bean-related story.
Brilliant.
Jess, I'll be the good cop here. You don't need a bitch bean related story. Because do remember, bitch beans is something that we've invented just now.
Okay. Are you trying to tell me that I'm enough as I am?
Yeah, that's what this whole episode's been about.
Your dream drink, Jessica Nabbit.
I'll have so many dream drinks. But that's not the point, is it? It's to choose one.
No, it is the point. It's nice that you have so many.
If you
want
to give
drinks.
Some honourable mentions, you gave a lot of shout-outs to different breads earlier. Feel free to give a shout-out, because no offence to the other drinks, of course. So,
yeah, I don't want to offend any of the other drinks. Give them some shout-outs.
I never shouted out the bread that I've been making.
No.
Is anyone else doing Zoe?
Yes, but don't tell the wine. Good stuff.
The thing is, you're a great comedian, and everyone's like, "Oh, James is so interesting. He does like new types of comedy." But so that is what you're good at: proper comedy,
old music hall stuff.
Music hall stuff. It's just a bit sexist, but in a fun way.
Yeah. Well, most sexism is fun.
Yeah.
Oh no, I'm the one who's clickbait now.
So. Zoe, are you talking about the patch in your arm that tells you how your body reacts to different foods so you can then change your diet based on the spike in the blood sugar levels that you get from certain foods? Tell me, Jess, did you miss being diabetic? Because I'm fucking fed up of this Zoe shit. These fake-ass diabetics.
It is stealing the thunder of the diabetics.
I'm not suggesting that I have any thunder from being diabetic, but it's quite difficult to maintain a blood sugar level as a diabetic. And I would argue that as a non-diabetic, you don't need a Zoe patch because you have what I like to call a working fucking pancreas.
I agree with Ed, because I'm an ally.
Are you doing Zoe?
The thing is, Ed... As someone who had Gestational diabetes.
I don't have gestational diabetes.
No.
Is that when it's just in your hands?
Is fucking brilliant. I've got some diabetic gigs I can book you for with that sort of stuff, man.
I've got 10 seconds of material.
You go down a storm. I don't think the catering will be what you're normally excited for, but...
Yes,
you have had gestational diabetes.
No, there's no point now, is there? That's as good as it's going to get.
But are you doing Zoe?
Well, because there's a thing where it's... Like, did you get the diabetes because you are a bit more prone to it, mm-hmm. and then you're going to get it, or, you know, did you get it and it's gone forever? You know, was it the pregnancy that made you a bit diabetic? Were you always...
Can you stop gesturing to me when you ask about pregnancy?
Not pregnant.
It's just the way I'm sat.
Anyway, I was curious, and I did it, and it did say I've got bad blood sugar, poor blood sugar.
Right. Based on what you're eating?
Based on, yes, but even, like, I don't, despite what I've just described, I don't actually just go to McDonald's all the time.
Yes.
Only some of the time. And I think I am quite a healthy eater, generally. But what I've realised is there's loads of stuff that I thought was healthy that isn't, and I now don't eat it as much because of that. But bread is one of them.
Yes, bread will spike blood sugar levels.
Yeah. So, there's this amazing bread... Oh, God, yeah, I cannot believe I'm talking about this, actually.
Please.
Especially during the drink course.
This is a regressive shout-out. You've gone back now. We've gone back to China and back to bread.
It's just that it's really... It really has been a revelation, and I love it so much.
Yeah, yeah.
The bread you've made.
It's made out of seeds, and it's only made out... It's just seeds, Ed and James.
It's just nice to be included, I guess.
It's seeds, it's psyllium husk, chia seeds.
He played Oppenheimer, didn't he?
Oh, my...
What is it? It's the fucking... Is this the spirit of Brucey?
His ashes are down there. If you're wondering what the joke is, Brucey's ashes.
Are they?
They're under the stage.
Forsyth's ashes are under the stage.
Did you not know that? Bruce Forsyth's ashes are under this stage.
What?
Yeah.
That is true. People don't know that. You can Google that.
Yeah, that's true.
That is true. Yes, really.
You keep on saying
they
really.
They were put
it
there by
true.
Request. It's not how he died. He wasn't trapped under the...
He was burnt to death below the stage at the London
Parade. Fucking let me out! That didn't happen. He died, was cremated, and he wanted to be under the stage of the Palladium. It meant a lot to him. So that's why I'm coming up with this.
That's why James is on good form.
Absolutely brilliant gear right now.
So seeds, psyllium husks.
Yeah, look, anyway, well, let's just crack on, shall we?
Okay.
But seeds and psyllium husk and chia seed and tahini and water. And it's delicious. Yeah. And, you know, if you can't eat bread...
I can.
Because you can inject...
Yes.
Yeah.
It's bread. More difficult. Pregnancy makes it more difficult because you've got to keep your blood sugar levels very, very tight and low, right?
Yeah.
But for me, like, I can afford now and again to inject for bread and things like that.
Yeah.
No. Because I can't stress this enough, I am not with child.
Right. It's probably a spicy margarita.
Yeah, gotta be.
Yeah.
Gotta
delicious.
Be.
It's a spicy margarita.
Your dream dessert.
James.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Whoa.
Okay.
Not you. Not you, Jeff. We did a whole series of a TV show together. What?
No. Hear me out. It's no offence to puddings.
No offence to puddings. The ultimate insult. It's no offence to puddings. I think James has taken some offence on their behalf. Jess, it's I'm absolutely loving this. You crack on. This is my favourite episode of the tour.
OK, it's just that. Hear me out, James.
He's gone.
Come back. James, come back. James.
He's gone. So we've just had a message from Benito saying he's gone. So you just... He's
James.
Behind you. That's good stuff.
I feel like he might have gone down to see Brucey.
Yeah. He's rubbing the urn going, tell me it'll be all right, Brucey.
If he let me finish, OK, what I'm going to say about it is, and this is my final word on the matter.
I'm not sure it will be, Jess. Because he will come back on at some point.
OK, should I wait? He's not coming back,
No, you. I think I know when he's going to come back on, but you're going to have to say the magic words.
OK, so the problem with desserts for me is they are nice, but they only have one flavour. The flavour is sweet.
Yeah, I mean,
they're sugary.
Yeah.
Sugary is a great flavour. I'm not saying they're not delicious. Yeah. I am saying they're delicious because they are delicious.
But it is one flavour.
Sweet is one flavour and they all taste the same.
You are right.
Except there is one pudding that is standout for me.
Yeah.
Well, you know what I want you to do now, Jeff? I thought you were just going to say cheese porn.
And in my dream restaurant...
I went for a piss.
The angriest piss of all time.
In the dream restaurant, the pudding happens before the cheese trolley.
How do you feel about that, James?
Okay, yeah, fine.
But the pudding's happening before and then Jess is ending on the cheese trolley.
Yeah, fine.
Is that right?
Yeah. I've gone on record saying that's fine. As long as there's a proper...
No, you got on record saying it's fine to have the cheese course and then the pudding, so I wonder what it would be like the other way around for you.
You're not going to have the cheese course and then the pudding.
Who's done that? Loads of people have done that. It's like a bridge.
The French?
Nobody does that.
The French?
Although, do you know, the Americans have cheese first.
Do they?
Yeah.
Cheese first.
Do they really, though?
So just one house you went to.
And in Norfolk, they shoved the cheese up their ass.
You had to eat it out of the host's ass.
Steve. Out of Steve's greasy ass. And he'd washed it. He told me he'd washed it. That's why it was so greasy.
Oh, can't wait to see you chat to your in-laws after this.
What's this dessert?
Okay, look, if this dessert isn't on the menu, then I don't order a dessert.
Okay.
And I will order the cheese, James.
But for your dream...
But it's a dream restaurant, so the dessert is there, it is present, and it's sticky toffee pudding.
Fantastic. Cool.
Beautiful.
And it's served with ice cream, obviously, because hot and cold together is such a great combo.
Can you think of other places in life where hot and cold is a great combo?
Saunas. And then when you get out of the sauna.
Love it. Love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, saunas, and then when you get out of the sauna.
You?
Me, can I think of one? Oh, yeah, I guess, I mean, I'm not the one who made the statement, but yes. I would say, it's actually quite hard to think of maybe a jacuzzi. And when you get out of the jacuzzi.
Yeah.
So, sticky toffee pudding, definitely that's like a crowd pleaser. That's a fan favourite, as you heard there. I mean, you can't really go wrong, can you?
I don't think so, no. I'm buying it regularly from, there's like a northern brand. I think they're kind of trying to claim that they invented it in Lancashire. And there's a town called Carmel. Sorry?
Cartmel.
Cartmel.
Cumbria.
Cumbria.
Yeah. It's in Cumbria.
Apologies.
No
apologies.
Offense.
No offence to Lancashire for not having it.
No offence to Lancashire, but you didn't invent the sticky toffee pudding. That was Cumbria.
Because that's where Cartmel is.
Cartmel.
That's where Cartmel is.
It's in the lakes.
Yes.
Have you been buying sticky toffee pudding from Cartmel?
No, I've been buying it from the supermarket. It says Cartmel on it.
On it. It's Cartmel yogurt.
Yeah, and it's really, that is a really good one.
Yeah.
I've been dropping a lot of brands tonight, actually, haven't I? Cartmel, Hobbycraft.
McDonald's. Yeah, all the big brands. How often are you having sticky toffee pudding?
Well,
Sticky toffee pudding Sunday.
STP. Yeah. My husband is a feeder, actually, a bit. And he just, there'll be a couple in the freezer now. I know there will.
Yeah, it sounds like he's a serial killer.
There'll be a couple in there.
I mean, there'll be a couple in the freezer. A
couple of STPs. Yeah, they're just waiting to go.
Delicious.
At any one time, really.
Now, some people might have thought that, and it's fine now, you're past the, yeah, you've done the dessert, but the secret ingredient for tonight that was suggested by the audience was a key lime pie, because you said on Taskmaster that you make those. So some people might have thought that you would enjoy key lime pie, but you're saying no, only sticky toffee puddings.
Well, I do enjoy... Oh, I see what you're doing.
What?
What?
You're trying to make me say it and then you can boot me off dramatically.
I mean, we literally just told you that it was the secret ingredient. I don't see how that's a trick.
Yeah, well, I've sussed you out.
No, you would have to put it on your menu for it to be...
Oh, right.
Yeah, you can say it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah, I suppose... If
if at this point you do choose it, you have no one to blame but yourself. That is not us tricking you.
Yeah.
It is delicious, but I'm not going to put it on my... I'm not going to be stupid.
Sticky toffee pudding.
I'm going to leave of my own will. I want to be set alight. Bury me under this stage. It's so poetic.
Mm.
Bury me under the stage at the Palladium, actually. He's not buried here.
He's not buried here, no. You don't go downstairs and it's the corpse of Bruce Forsyth.
Laying just in state.
In state, like Stalin.
Oh. Yeah, in that position.
Yeah. That would not be nice to see nice.
Stuff.
Okay then.
And you want a cheese board after that.
Very rarely does the guest try and end the episode.
Okay then.
That's
it. Sometimes that happens, but we edit it out.
Yes.
It's hard to edit it out when it's in front of the audience. Yeah. They will have to just see that sometimes guests turn to us and go, "Yeah, all right." But you two have done enough now of whatever the fuck this is. And you want the cheese board after?
Trolley.
Not happy with the trolley?
It's a lot more cheese, isn't it? But you just want to choose it from the trolley.
I'm choosing from the trolley.
Yeah.
What would you choose? What cheese would you choose?
Definitely something blue. Stilton, Yorkshire blue, maybe. Mm. There's also going to be something soft, camembert-y or brie-y. And something hard, like, you know, a manchego, a comté, a pecorino.
Lovely.
That's what I'd definitely go for. I really like salty blue cheese with sweet biscuits.
Let me read your menu back to you now, see how you feel about it. You would like Yorkshire tap water. You would like a stack of spicy poppadoms from the Sharma Bingley in 1998 with all the dips on an upholstered carpeted chair. You want an amuse-bouche of sour cream with caviar and crisps. Starter, you want prawn toast with black sesame seeds from a high-end Chinese restaurant or a Thai restaurant with a sweet and spicy dip plus some crispy seaweed. Main course, you want bastard cake, Jude Nappin. Side dish, Szechuan-style green beans with minced pork. Drink, a spicy margarita. Dessert, a sticky toffee pudding with ice cream followed by a cheese trolley.
Oh,
happy?
So happy.
the off-menu menu of Jessica Knappert.
Jessica Knappert.
Thank you very much, London Palladium.
Knappert, everybody. Thank you
so much
for coming.
Thank you so much for coming. You've been brilliant.
Safe journey home.
Good night. Well, there we are. What a way to kick off a residency at the Palladium, James.
And Jess did text me after the show and said her husband has told her that it was only her house where they couldn't drink the water.
Yes, so she got that wrong.
She got that wrong. She got I just never knew that when she was living in LA, that you could drink the water there.
I think if I was under a massive misapprehension or I'd assumed something for ages without asking someone, the place I'd least like to find out is on stage at the Palladium.
Yeah,
in front absolutely. Of a sold-out crowd.
A sold-out crowd. Thank you so much, Jess. And, hey, we'll be back soon with another bonus episode.
Next week from the Palladium.
Palladium.
Oh, yeah, you're really good at that.
Yeah, I'm pretty good at it. You got to focus on it. You got to really focus.
I might get you to do loads of different words next week. Hey.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Lucy Beaumont.
And guess what? I'm Sam Campbell. If you enjoy, there's another podcast just coming out. Oh no, the podcast is out now.
Yeah. If people have enjoyed Off Menu, will they enjoy Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains? I don't know.
There's a bit of crossover. We talk about maybe, you know, a couple of food issues. We talk about cutlery, and that's near food. We reckon it's out now. Not soon, it's now.
Is it on all the platforms?
Oh, it absolutely is. If you like James and if you love Ed, you might get a kick out of this. But yeah, again, no pressure. But this one's out now. Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.